Welcome back to the Vincenzo Landino Show. I am Vincenzo. Today, it is Thursday, May 25th. I want to talk about Monaco. The Grand Prix starts tomorrow. It's so exciting. It's so exclusive. It's so lavish. Just go check out my Twitter feed of the crazy things that you'll probably find in Monaco, like a Ferrari F40 on a yacht being driven around the harbor. Actually, I say being driven, but being towed or whatever along in the waters, which just makes me think, why would you want to put an F40 out on the salt water like that, exposed? Craziness, these people in Monaco. But Monaco is just that. It's lavish. It is something that is looked forward to on the Formula One calendar. It's also home to a number of individuals from the world of Formula One. A lot of drivers. There's a reason for that. A lot of celebrities, a lot of millionaires, racing enthusiasts all show up. Get the backdrop of the Mediterranean Sea. You have a long-standing history with Formula One on the calendar. It's been there for almost 100 years. They've been racing in Monaco since 1929. It became an official part of the F1 calendar in 1955. It's also the shortest track on the F1 calendar, just a little over 2 miles. It's got a ton of laps, 78. For the race day, weekend, actually race day, there's 37,000 tickets available. But there's over 100,000 people that will gather in Monaco to take a look at this event. And you'll see many times people are watching from balconies. There's obviously people over on the yachts, if you can afford that. The track is literally made up of public roads, so anyone living along the route can also watch. It takes over 6 weeks to build this track, and there's a video online that my friend Lucas, who lives in Monaco, took of kind of like a time lapse over the period of, you know, 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks ahead of the Grand Prix. It's just wild watching, you know, everything come together. And then it takes about 3 weeks to dismantle it. So you've got a lot of disruption for anywhere from 9 to 12 weeks on the calendar. Monaco itself is really interesting. It's only about 3/4 of a square mile. It's smaller than Central Park. Central Park is 1.31 square miles. So Monaco as a principality is smaller than Central Park itself in New York City. This is the fact about Monaco that is always interesting to me is it's the part of the triple crown of motorsport. The Monaco Grand Prix, the 24-hour of Le Mans, and the Indianapolis 500, which also takes place the same weekend. And there's only one driver to ever accomplish the feat of the Triple Crown, British driver Graham Hill. He won all three of those. Monaco was much different back in the day. It is now a lot. It's the least passing. There is the least amount of overtaking on this track. Cars are bigger. They don't move through the principality as they used to, even though the speeds are faster. So qualifying has become kind of the day to watch or the thing to watch for Monaco weekend. It is still a spectacle and a sight to behold. It is a race that I have never attended, but I would love to be there. It is a bucket list item for sure. Monaco also shares, I'll go a little deeper here. Monaco shares a very unique relationship with Formula One. They receive benefits such as a discounted hosting fee of just, quote, just $15 million per year compared to what other races are paying, which is somewhere between $20 to $55 million. The country itself retained control over TV arrangements up until this year. Formula One now takes over television control. So all of the production is handled by Formula One starting this year. And that'll hopefully help us get a better product. The last race to be controlled by the country that we were in was Japan. That was 2010. So Monaco has held on for an additional 13 years of their television control. I love this for Formula One. I think it's going to bring a nice cohesive product on television. They'll now handling all the GPs, which is the first time ever in history that they're handling all the GPs. And so that should keep everything consistent. In Monaco, the Formula One race means a lot, as we kind of talked about at the forefront. It brings an economic impact of $110 million to the principality. Very important. This is a very important part of who Monaco is, what Monaco is, who the people of Monaco are. The Formula One race, the Grand Prix. Despite it being one of the priciest tickets for spectators, there's tickets that range from $160 for Friday practice to $16,000 for three-day luxury experiences. There's still thousands of people that come to Monaco just to be around it. There's also VIP packages, high-end accommodations, such as the one at the Hotel de Paris Monte Carlo, with rooms costing $6,000 a night. And there's elite experiences that really cater to all of those that are ready to jump in. And the yacht scene. It's hard to mention Monaco without mentioning the yachts. Port Hercules, you've seen the shot. You've seen the yachts. You've seen the massive yachts with the small ones that look relatively small, but they're actually probably massive as well. There's many that are available for charter. So not everyone owns one that is there. You can charter one just like you would renting a car if you've got about $12,000 to $140,000 for the week. There was a yacht, Faith, which I think had ties to the Latifi family. It was about a $200 million yacht with a weekly rental price of $1.5 million. Crazy. Crazy amounts of dollars spent. Monaco, I mentioned, is home to Formula One drivers because there's a lot of tax advantages. Privacy. The location is absolutely prime, especially for Europeans. It is kind of right there. I mean, you're in the south, the French Riviera near Italy. You've got this perfect gateway into Europe. You're close to everything. If you know, your team's factory is in England, you're very close to that. If your team's factory is in Italy, you're close to that. So it's a very central key location. I also mentioned there's a lack of overtaking here. And while there have been a lot of concerns about the future of this race, especially because of the on-track action or the lack thereof, and maybe some financial shortcomings, the contract has been extended. So we've got at least 3 more years of Monaco, including this season, before they reassess for the 2026 and beyond. And as long as Monaco continues to generate revenue and it continues to really drive the allure of Formula One, captivate the media, it is going to remain absolutely essential part of the calendar. To me, there is no race on the calendar that signifies or symbolizes Formula One like Monaco does. Now, whether I think the on-track product is there anymore, that's a whole nother ballgame, because I don't. I think that there's options for Monaco. There's ways to go for the Monaco Grand Prix. There's ways to evolve what this race is. Unless Formula One is prepared to change the size of the cars, which I don't see, Monaco remains a quali day spectacle. Seeing drivers fly out on the track through the streets of Monaco is incredible. And I think that's where the value lies as well. As more circumstances evolve, as future negotiations start to change, as things maybe are reevaluated, the relationship between Monaco and Formula One is so unique that it's hard to ignore. And I encourage you to give me a follow over on Twitter for this week. Just follow along with the hashtag MonacoGP hashtag on Twitter. Check out Instagram, wherever you are, because you'll just see the absolute over-the-top awesomeness that is Monaco. And the drivers, you know, it's still important to win Monaco. The Monaco Grand Prix is the one you want to win. Obviously, you want to win the championship altogether, but you want to win the Monaco Grand Prix. And when you have drivers and you have fans that all love this place, it's hard. It's going to be very hard to get rid of it. And I hope it never goes. I hope things evolve because I want to see, you know, great racing on this circuit again. But yeah, the dollars and cents of Monaco are absolutely outrageous. And it will always, to me, this will always remain symbolic of what Formula One is. Thanks for listening to this version of the Vincenzo Landino Show. We focused solely on Monaco today. Wanted to give them their due. I think Monaco is worthy of its own standalone episode. Head over to Twitter, give me a follow at Vincenzo Landino, or Instagram at the Vincenzo Landino, where I post all things related to sports, culture, and business. I will talk to you on the next one. Bye.